Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. Primetime Crime here. I'm your host, Katrina Daniel. You'd have to be under a rock to not have heard about the Tinder swindler, Simon Leviev. Well, that's who he pretends to be, a skinny Israeli who goes around scamming vulnerable women who make the mistake of swiping right when they see his pinched little face and scraggly wannabe beard on his dating profile, aka Tinder. Anyway, you've got to catch the Netflix documentary about Simon, whose real name is Simon Haiyut, H-A-Y-U-T. The only real thing about Simon may be his first name, but even that's in doubt because he has so many aliases. Even his own country's newspaper calls Simon Haiyut a fraudster. Here's the M.O. He goes online to Tinder, photoshops and filters himself to the max, then poses in front of fancy rented cars and on the tarmac in front of leased private jets. And he says he wants a relationship. Several women, probably too many to count, have fallen for that scam. They develop online relationships with Simon, relationships that do include some personal appearances by Simon, but mostly by texts and voice messages, assuring each girl that she's the one. So then all of a sudden, an emergency comes up in Simon's life, and Simon's business enemies are allegedly out to kill him, so he must flee in his private jet, and he can't tell you where. But, oh, by the way, can you send him $100,000? Because he can't, after all, access his own bank account, because he's in danger. Me, I'm thinking at this point, I would fund those out to get him instead. Here to help me unwind this dating scam is Debbie Montgomery Johnson, herself a victim of a sophisticated scammer. She's the author of two books detailing her own horrible experience, The Woman Behind the Smile and Fearless.
Tinder swindler victim Celia Philhoy counts her financial losses.
You always have hindsight, but of course, in the end, you just become so mentally drained because you're under such much pressure and threats from him, and money isn't coming in, you know? So, and I had creditors coming after me.
Eight or nine creditors.
So in the end, you just, and he turned on me kind of at the end as well, where he was saying that he had lost the deal he was working on. It was sorry him and not sorry me. And that's when I was like, okay,
something's
physically
not right, yeah.
My body was telling me like, you need to do something. I was almost throwing up.
And it was when you went to your bank and you spoke to them, you called the helpline and you explained what had happened and they were aware of this guy.
They said I had a long investigation on him when I met up. I was like, they asked for the picture of him and then they looked at each other when they nodded and like, that's the guy. I can't even say.
One of my very, very all-time favorite guests is with me. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us. As you know, Tinder swindler is everywhere. First, let's get your take on the Tinder swindler. What do you think about Simon Leviev or Leviev or however he decides to pronounce it this week?
I think Simon should be sitting in jail. And I think he was just a criminal to, you know, he's a swindler and a slick one. And he's got a story. And when I hear him now express how innocent he is, I just want to go...
Why isn't he behind bars?
It's a very difficult thing to prove what he did because the women, the victims, because they're not survivors yet, they're still victims, you know, they willingly gave to him. And that's what happens, as it happened to me, is that you're manipulated so much by the person that you're falling in love with. And we call it the amygdala hijack. You just want to be family, you want to help, you know? And that happened to me when my guy was having difficulties, I wanted to help because the as soon as you can help, then the better it is for you. Like they say, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, yep.
The girls were looking to be kind. They were not gold diggers as they're being called now. They were really, I think, yeah, he provided a very interesting lifestyle for them. It was very flashy, But he was setting that up. He came across as that person that they were going to be part of his life. And when they were helping him, it was just, I think, to get him over a patch. He made it so urgent, and it was, you know, I have to have it now. And that's what happens, is that there are these emergencies and you want to help. You really want to help just so that the emergency goes away, so that you can have a regular life again. So yeah, that whole setup, that was very emotional for me, because I lived through those emergencies. And then when it was over, there's such great relief. But then when the next one happens, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you're afraid they're going to die.
The girls, and I watched the documentary, and I can't say enjoyed, but I found it really, really interesting. They seemed so trusting and naive. They're like, oh, he's in trouble, let me rush in there and help.
I don't know that it's naive, because when you're in the middle of it, it's not that you're clueless. It's that, you know, think about it. If you get a call from your kids and they're in trouble and you want to help them right away.
Yeah.
You're not naive about helping them, you know, unless it's the grandma scandal, which is, we are naive because we hadn't heard about that. I think they truly wanted to help him because they wanted him out of that situation that he was in, so that he could come home, come back to them.
So they're in trouble for being good people.
Well, that's all scam victims are in trouble. And honestly, everybody can be taken at some point in their lifetime, because we're all vulnerable to someone.
Yep.
Most scammers, I've heard a statistic that like 60% of scams are done by someone that you know.
So
think about that. It's your family members. When I was in banking, I couldn't tell you how many kids that would come in that I knew were waiting for their parents either to die, or someone was going to, you know, they're waiting to see how they can get a hold of their parents' money. And I'm like, okay, bro, this is not good.
Let's go back to Simon. For people who haven't seen the documentary, tell us what he did.
Simon was very charismatic, and he was, I was never on Tinder. So he would, you know, get involved with a woman and present this lifestyle, like, oh, well, we're going to fly off to this island for this party, and I want you to come with me. And everything was glamorous. And it was, you know, for a younger woman, it was very enticing to have that kind of a fun, free kind of lifestyle, full of, you know, there were parties and money and all that kind of stuff involved, but that was part of his game.
Yeah. And all those pictures on private planes and in Rolls Royces and Bentleys and all that stuff. Do you have any idea whether he just rented those? It was a photo op. He stood next to the dealership, and then he had some goon that followed him around as a bodyguard, air quote.
No, I think that actually had happened. And the way I understand it is that the money from one woman would be used for the next one. So he'd be getting all that money. Yeah, he could go fly somewhere because he just got $100,000 from one girl. You know, so she'd be sitting home worried about him, and he'd be off with another woman, pretending that he was in jail or wherever he was. So that's how I understand he did that scam, which was very brazen that he was doing that in person, but it happens.
What do you mean in person?
Well, like in my case, the scammer was never in person. So
I see.
He'd be working with 200 women, getting $100 a week from each one of them. But
right.
They wouldn't know because they didn't have him home. Those women knew him in person, had traveled with him in person. It goes back to my friend, Benita Alexander. I don't know if you know Benita's story, where she was an NBC reporter. She was engaged to a fellow international surgeon. She was engaged to him. She traveled to Italy with him. She traveled around the world with him. And so she knew him in person. And when she found out that the day they were supposed to get married in Rome by the Pope, that the Pope was going to be in South America, it fell apart. Very, very brilliant woman. Taken completely by a con artist. And that's what Simon is. He's a con artist. And they're out there. And I used to say, if you haven't seen the whites of their eyes in 2 weeks, then they're a scammer. But when I heard her story, and a lot of women have been taken in person, seeing them in person doesn't guarantee they're not a scammer either, or a con man.
Right. Okay, so Debbie, take us back to step one. How did he do this? What exactly did he do?
On any dating thing like that, that you would develop a relationship, you would pick a person out in Tinder, I believe you swipe right and then you're connected. So they've now got an initial connection on the dating app. Then they would contact each other. Maybe they would meet for a drink. Maybe they would meet for dinner. They would meet in person and develop this relationship, this friendship. in this particular case, he would say, I'm taking my private jet and I'm flying to wherever. It could be Greece. I can't remember this particulars. Would you go with me? And they would excitedly go and they would pack and they would go on this trip on a private jet and she'd be wined and dined and flown to wherever they were going, let's say Greece, for instance, and there'd be parties there and she would be having fun. And all of a sudden, something would come up and business-wise, he would have to leave to go somewhere else. So she might be left there or maybe she came home. I'm not really sure. But in any event, he would be he left her, the first girl, okay? We don't know that maybe he had already swiped right for another girl. So now Simon's got girl number one sitting in New York waiting with bated breath for him to come back to her. And he's off gallivanting with a second woman. But when Simon gets into trouble and says, you know, I've gotten hurt or something's happened, can you send me some money? Yes, the first woman did it, not because she was a gold digger, because presumably he had a lot of money. But maybe he didn't have access to that money. And so he needed assistance to get past a hardship. And that happens. It happened to me. You know, you're so involved with that person. You want to be the girlfriend. You want to be not in a desperate way, but you've developed this relationship and, you know, you start worrying about him. And so when Simon called the first girl and said, I'm in trouble, I need your help right away. It's very urgent. Get me the money right away so I can move on or I can get home. She does it thinking she's basically loaning him some money because he doesn't have access to his. So she sends the money, she helps him. He now has all that money from her, presumably to get out of his situation, but he's off gallivanting with girl number two. So he's using the money from the first woman to pay for the lifestyle with the second woman and on and on and on. We know.
Wine and dine. It's like a Ponzi scheme.
A Ponzi scheme with women.
A Ponzi scheme with women. How do you know that he got caught?
I believe that he was traveling through Greece and was picked up for a fake passport and then deported back to Israel after that.
And he is an Israeli, and they showed pictures of the filmmaker going to his mom's little apartment. And she said she hadn't had any contact with him in years. And yet you have three beautiful women here. And actually the official estimate of the losses, not from these three women alone, that he is believed to have stolen around $10 million all around Europe in a similar romance Ponzi scheme. How and why do women fall for this?
I think that they were looking for a love friendship. I mean, if you go onto a dating app, you're looking to find someone that might be your match. And they found him and he portrayed himself as an eligible bachelor, happened to be a very wealthy family. And it was all a story. It was all a made up story. But the girls didn't know that, because when you go into those sites, when you go into dating like that, you're trusting people. You think that they're going to be transparent. I don't think any of us that have been taken would have ever believed that we were going to be taken at a scam. You just don't go into that thinking it's a scam, although you should now. You shouldn't trust anybody now unless you do your homework on them and really do your due diligence. But these girls were very trusting. They were not, you know, the gold diggers as they were portrayed to be later on.
Can you give me an example of a situation that a Tinder swindler type guy would approach a potential sucker with?
Well, in his particular case, he wined and dined them. They would meet, they would go out for a nice dinner. It wouldn't be a date at McDonald's, and he certainly would be dressed to the tilt. You know, it would be a very fancy dinner at a nice hotel, a nice restaurant. He showed that he was showing those girls that he had money, and he did. It just wasn't his. But they didn't know that. You know, if you go out to dinner with someone and they're wining and dining you in a really nice place, you think, oh my gosh, this is a really well-established, nice man. Because I'm sure they didn't do their due diligence prior to the first date.
Now he's capitalizing on it. He is getting paid for interviews. He is getting paid for sending out birthday greetings to people.
He is saying that he's innocent. He's out there, and I'm sure there's libel, slander, or whatever. We would know that as an attorney. He's out there because he's saying he didn't do it. He was innocent. Well, come on.
Well, they've got his texts, they've got his emails, they've got his voice messages. So he can't really say that he didn't do that. And he's got about five aliases or something like that.
He does. And maybe if the girls had even done a Google search on him, they might not have found him, because the name that he gave was an actual person and the family were diamond dealers.
Yeah.
And so the story that he manipulated, that he stole, he impersonated, was a real person. And that's what happens. And that's a tough situation.
That would be a lawyer would have to address the question of what recourse does the person whose name and was used to scam these women.
I know in the cases that I work with that, you know, for instance, military personnel who have been scammed or whose pictures have been used, they don't have any recourse. It really hurts their families. And what we've got to be careful is, in this case, we knew the person. In the case of impersonation scams, pictures, you don't know who that person is. And so if you go after that person, now you're stalking. And it's a federal crime to go after that person. In Simon's case, he was a real person. And we've seen his real pictures. It's just his story was wrong.
A quick short story. I think that you and I have talked about this before. I got a friend request on Facebook from, you know, somebody with a generic name wanting to friend me, and they sent their picture, and I looked at it and I went, oh my God, that's my former coworker, Tim, in the newsroom. What are the odds? And so I called Tim, who I still know, and I said, did you know? He says, yeah. He said, they use my picture all the time. There's not a damn thing I can do about it.
There's not. And unfortunately, when we try to report those things and block those profiles, I've done it multiple times and I've given up, because it comes back from, let's say, Facebook. And they're like, well, that doesn't violate our community standards. I'm like, seriously? You have a picture of General Miley on a guy named Eric Cole, and that's not a fake profile? Come on.
So, I know.
But it ruins those guys' lives. The victims of impersonation that I've interviewed, they're getting stalked all the time. They have people calling saying, why are you scamming me? You know, and they're attacking their wives, their families. That's the other side of the scam in my situation. Not in Simon's. He's a real guy. They need to go after him.
Yes, indeed they do. Before we bail out, can you give us some quick ways to identify potential scammers?
Well, in my world, it's, you know, check them out. Be careful. You don't accept a friend request from people that you don't know. We don't have to have 5 million friends, you know, on social media. We might hear from 20 of them, if that. Be very careful on Tinder. I mean, I have a daughter who's on the dating apps. You know, one recently was on Hinge. Hinge is really getting a lot of bad press for fake profiles. Do your due diligence. Be really, really careful. I always say have a dating buddy, because when you're involved in something like this, that the hormones and the emotions that get wrapped up in feeling like you're being loved again, you need someone objective that can look at this and look at the profile, really look at the picture. If it's a military guy and his name is Jones, but his uniform says Young, that's a big red flag. Military uniforms are red flags for scammers anyway. But just watch, really be careful. Take a pause. Like your grandma used to say, sleep on it. Don't jump on the first thing that happens. Don't, you know, really take your time. There's no rush. The scammers want to rush you. They will push you into an emergency. They will get you off of the dating site really quick, or the app really quick, and go onto Google Hangouts or WhatsApp. Be really careful of anybody that takes you off the original platform.
And the other thing I've noticed when I get these totally unsolicited friend requests is they pick some generic name like Bob Anderson or Jim Robertson or Captain Alan Thompson. How many of those are there? And they're always on an oil rig somewhere off Syria or something.
Well, there are stories, and be really careful now, particularly with the war going on, because you'll get the story might be, and it may not be an American woman that's being taken. It could be a woman from Malaysia or somewhere, but now they're a doctor in the UN and they're in Syria, or they're a doctor in the UN and they're Iraq, or they're a military guy and now he's on his way to Poland because he's going to fight in Ukraine. And I can't, you know, I need to send money home to my child. Military will never ask you to pay for your leave to go home or you support your family. You will never be. So anybody asking for money to support a military person or a doctor with the UN, it's bogus, okay? The oil rig, it's bogus. Yeah. Contractors, a lot of them are contractors. My guy was a contractor, international contractor. If they're widowed and they're from London and this, I mean, there are profiles that are, the stories are the same. They just change some of the particulars. So going to this thing, eyes wide open, and that's the problem, is I feel there's not enough public service announcements to, especially over 50, when you're going into dating sites, to be really careful, that to understand that the scammers are there and they're on their way to get you. They don't need $1 million from you. They need $250 from 1 million people. And they'll get it because it's a numbers game for them. They are the ultimate salesman. They've been trained in call centers. They're trained in universities. They know what they're doing and they think differently than we do. So they're laughing all the way to the bank. You know, as soon as they get an iTunes card or a gift card or a Bitcoin request now, they are on their way to the bank and laughing at us for being so trusting and so gullible, as they would put it.
A really good friend of mine told me that Spokio is the best search engine to search out people. And he's got a PhD in cybersecurity. So that's what I do. If I want information on anything or anybody, I just go there.
But what's really important is if you have been taken, there are groups. I'm on the board of directors of SCARS, the Society of Citizens Against Relationship Scams. We work internationally with victims because if you can't prevent someone within the first 2 weeks, we find they're going to be taken and you're not going to be able to do anything until what I call they're broken. And that's tough because now you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with PTSD, you're dealing with financial devastation, people on the verge of suicide. It is very dangerous. So you need to reach out because there are a lot of us that have been taken. And most people aren't going to speak up because they're so vulnerable and they're so ashamed of what they did.
Yep.
Don't be ashamed. You're a victim of a crime and it's organized crime. And don't ever blame yourself for being the one. The only thing we did wrong was accept a friend request. So don't do that.
Quick, where should people reach out to if they want to talk to you? What do you feel comfortable publicizing?
They can go to my website, thewomanbehindthesmile.com. If there's a victim and wants to contact me, email me at Debbie, D-E-B-B-Y, at thewomanbehindthesmile.com. Go to romancescamsnow.com, which is an encyclopedia of all relationship scam information that you want for friends, family, anybody that can do that. And report to, you can go on to againstscams.com. We have a link to the FTC, a link to the FBI, which is ic3.gov. But it's important to report. It may not get any of your money back, probably won't, but it's important that we get the information out there because the FBI can build a case. I have been in court once with the victim, one of my friends who was victimized, and we saw the scammer get sentenced to 14 years in prison in Dallas.
Really?
It happens rarely in the United States. It's happening around the world, except in the United States, but we're trying. And this is not just women that get scammed. Men get scammed. When I was taken and went to the FBI here in Palm Beach, they said, Deb, got to tell you this, more men have been taken for over $1 million in Palm Beach County than women, but they'll never talk. Men are not good victims because they're angry. They're angry that they were taken. They're angry that they were businessmen and, you know, gave away a lot of money. And they're angry because maybe that scammer who pretended to be a woman was really a man. But it happens to men as much as women. So be careful, men.
According to the FBI, swindlers like Simon Hayut Lviv, or whatever nom de jour he's using now, took more than $1 billion from the victims of their scams just last year. Those who know these things say that's probably a low estimate because so many victims are so embarrassed and humiliated that they won't come forward. This especially relates to men who are victimized. Simon Lviv Hayut claims he is not a monster and not a swindler. He can't explain away all those voice messages and texts asking for money, though. If you need help or more information, check out Debbie's website, thewomanbehindthesmile.com. Until next time, this is Primetime Crime. Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at @PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.